Kings in chapter 22. 2 Kings in chapter 22 is going to serve as our text this morning. So thankful for the presence of all. As has already been announced, we're so thankful for the many college students that have come back into town. Welcome you and encourage you, as Brother Brooks already mentioned, to get involved. I remember going through school. I was so concerned about my success at school that oftentimes I neglected my spirituality. And as we examine God's Word, I think that we find as we examine who God created us to be and as we examine our purpose, if we have neglected our spirituality, then we have failed at the very purpose for which God created us. Again, reiterating what was brought up in Bible class, the necessity that we have for one another, for being spiritually encouraged, but also realizing so many times we read of how Paul says, I long to see you, or I long to come and to see you face to face. And I think part of that is because Paul recognized his importance in the body and for the spiritual encouragement of the body. And you are very, very important. And we hope that you will commit yourself to being an encouragement to all those who are here because we need you, and we hope that you feel your need for us as well. We're going to be studying from 2 Kings in chapter 22 this morning, and as you can already see, we're going to be doing a character study, looking at some things we can apply from the character of King Josiah. Tonight, if you'll come back and be with us, we're going to study from the prophet Amos. I think sometimes we neglect some of the prophets, but honestly, the prophets are some of my favorite books of the Bible because when you go through them and you see the messages that are being preached to the people, they're some of the most convicting books of the Bible. So come back tonight. We're going to study some lessons from the prophet Amos. But in 2 Kings chapter 22, we have this king Josiah. And when we think about the history of God's people, the kingdom divides. And of course, the northern kingdom Israel, they don't really have any kings that we would classify as being good kings. But when we think about the southern kingdom of Judah, we have two that we normally think about. We think about Hezekiah and we think about Josiah. Both of these kings were kings of great reforms in periods of Israel's history where spiritually there was a major digression. They were moving further and further away from God. And we see with King Josiah as we examine 2 Kings in chapter 22, we see a man who was committed to faithfulness despite the condition of the world around him, despite the condition of the people around him. Let's think for just a moment as we examine one of the first things we immediately see about Josiah. I want you to just think about the situation in which King Josiah is born. King Josiah is born in a period of time. Judah, as we mentioned, is just going downhill at lightning speed. They're getting closer and closer to that point. The prophets have been foretelling where God is going to send this great enemy, Babylon, and Babylon is going to take the nation of Judah into captivity. Why is this going to happen, we wonder. We ask the question, why the captivity and the many things that take place in the Old Testament where God allows His people to be defeated? Well, it's always connected with their unfaithfulness. The people had become wicked. They had allowed themselves to be corrupt. They had allowed themselves to assimilate to the world around them. They had left their first love, and in their leaving their part of the covenant relationship with God, God abandons them to their enemies. And in this period in King Josiah's day, they are spiritually in a position where God is ready to overcome this people with their enemies. They are wicked, they are evil times full of people, they had turned their hearts far away from God, they had completely forgotten the Word of God. How do we know that? Because the text tells us here in 2 Kings in chapter 22, in just a minute we're going to keep reading and we're going to see where we have a tell of the fact that not only had the people digressed in their spirituality, but when they find the Word of God that has been lost for so long, they are surprised to find out what it actually says. And when it's brought to the king, he is shocked to see the true spiritual condition of the people. But when we consider Josiah's upbringing, I think it's important for us to understand his background just a little bit. Josiah's father is a man named Amon. And if you go back to chapter 21, this is going to be have purpose and meaning in the story of Josiah as we see where it is that he comes from. In 2 Kings chapter 21, beginning in verse 20. In 2 Kings chapter 21, in verse 20, it reads this way. It says, "And he did what was evil in the sight of the Lord, as Manasseh his father had done. He walked in all the way in which his father walked, and he served the idols." We're talking about Amon. I guess I should have started reading in 19. Let me start reading in 19. "Amon was 22 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 2 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Meshulemeth, the daughter of Haruz of Jotbah, and he did what was evil in the sight of the Lord, as Manasseh his father had done. He walked in all the way in which his father walked, and he served the idols that his father served, and he worshipped them. He abandoned the Lord. He abandoned the Lord, the God of his fathers, and he did not walk in the way of the Lord. And the servants of Amon conspired against him, and they put the king to death in his house." It's interesting as we consider who Josiah's father was. Josiah was not a good man, to say the least. He was very unfaithful. He was very wicked. He was a man who walked in the ways of his father, Methuselah, which you might remember, not Methuselah, but Manasseh. You might remember something about Manasseh. Manasseh is attributed to being one of the most wicked kings. Now, let's also remember towards the end of the life, it says he came to some avenue of repentance. But Manasseh was the king that it says about him was sacrificing the children of Israel. The people of God were sacrificing their children under Manasseh's reign. He has a son, Amon, who is just as wicked as he was. He has a son named Josiah. And these two men were the fatherly influences of this great king. Now that's pretty sad, isn't it? We think about a good, godly father, someone to follow in their footsteps. Manasseh and Amon are really not the two guys that we think about. We almost begin to go ahead and presuppose what their children are going to look like, what their children are going to do, because obviously they're going to have some measure of influence on their children. And I think that makes so much more powerful what we're told about Josiah in 2 Kings 22 in verse 2 when it says, "He did what was right in the eyes of God, of the Lord. And he walked in all the way of David, his father, and he did not turn aside to the right or to the left." Doesn't that make it that much more meaningful that considering Josiah's influence, considering what would have been Josiah's upbringing, he did what was right in the eyes of the Lord? And not only that, the text says nothing about his earthly fathers, Amon, and his grandfather, Manasseh. As a matter of fact, it attributes Josiah's faithfulness to walking in the spiritual footsteps of David, King David, the one whose heart was fashioned after God. You know what that says to me? This text reminds me, as I consider the influence that his family would have had on him, and not just his influence of his family, but the influence of the culture around him and the context of the people and their spiritual condition. When I consider that context and Josiah's placement in that context, the fact that he did what he did and what was said about him is said about him, what that says to me very loud and clearly is it reminds me that I'm in control of my own life. That I'm not controlled by my circumstances. That I'm not controlled by the people who are around me. Josiah very easily could have walked in the footsteps of his father. You read through the history of the kings, and it just continually says he followed in the footsteps of his father. He was wicked like his father. But Josiah had committed himself to not being controlled by his circumstances. Josiah had decided that he was going to be in control of his own life. And I think the lesson in it for me, as I consider myself and in my circumstance, is that despite my circumstance, despite the people around me, whether it be my mother, my father, my brother, my wife, They can all have their hearts set against God. But I can still choose to serve. Because my circumstances don't control me. I don't have to let my situation control me. That's what we do when we stop serving God. Whatever it is that has pulled us away, all we've done is we've changed the object of our worship. When we've pulled away from God, all we've said is that, God, no longer I'm going to worship you. I'm going to give my attention to something else that in my mind is more deserving. And in that moment, what we don't realize is that we have been mastered by something other than Jehovah God. We have become a slave to something that has distracted us from the true master that only within the realm of him is there purpose in life. If our situation has pulled us away from God, then we have become slaves to our situation. If someone has influenced us and pulled us away, then we have become slaves to that person. But Josiah, man, what an amazing king. An amazing example of someone who knew and put into practice the very call that Joshua issued in 24:15. I know what I've chosen. You choose this day how you whom you will serve. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Josiah, he chose. And what he chose was to put off the weight of the condition of the world around him. And to say, just with everything that I have to give, I'm going to serve God. He wasn't controlled by his circumstances. Something else that kind of jumps out at me as I read and reflect on this story. We read verses 1. We read verses 2 there where it kind of gives us the overall picture of Josiah, of one who did what was right in the eyes of the Lord. As we consider the spiritual condition of the people around, we begin reading in verse 3, and we'll read this in just a second, but in verse 3 through 13, we see how far the people had really fallen away from God, as we had kind of mentioned at the beginning, and we see a people who are just broken. And one of the things we're going to see about Josiah is that his desire is not to leave broken what is broken, but to fix what is broken. And in beginning of verse 3, we'll read, in the 18th year of King Josiah, the king sent Shaphan, the son of Azaliah, son of Meshulam, the secretary, to the house of the Lord, saying, go up to Hilkiah the high priest, that he may count the money that has been brought into the house of the Lord, which the keepers of the threshold have collected from the people. And let it be given into the hand of the workmen who have the oversight of the house of the Lord. Let them give it to the workmen who are at the house of the Lord, repairing the house. We can see already Josiah is issuing a sense of reform. In verse 6, he says, that is to the carpenters, to the builders, and to the masons. Let them use it for buying timber and quarried stone to repair the house. But no accounting shall be asked from them for the money that is delivered into their hand, for they deal honestly. Continuing in verse 8, Hilkiah the high priest said to Shaphan the secretary, I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord. And Hilkiah, he gave the book to Shaphan, and he read it. And Shaphan the secretary came to the king, and he reported to the king, your servants have emptied out the money that was taken in the house, and they have delivered it into the hand of the workmen who have the oversight of the house of the Lord. And then Shaphan the secretary told the king, Hilkiah the priest has given me a book. And Shaphan read it before the king. When the king heard the words of the book of the law, he tore his clothes. And the king commanded Hilkiah the priest and Ahikam the son of Shaphan and Achbor the son of Micaiah and Shaphan the secretary and Azaiah the king's servant, saying, go and inquire of the Lord for me and for the people and for all of Judah concerning the words of this book that has been found. For great is the wrath of the Lord that is kindled against us. Because our fathers have not obeyed the words of this book to do anything to all that is written concerning us. And let's stop right there for just a moment. From the very beginning, We see Josiah trying to fix all that he can see that is broken. And I think this is interesting. As we see him making preparations to have the house of the Lord restored to the way that it was meant to be, he's going through, he's casting out the idols, he's going through and he's casting out all of these false images, these representations of these false gods. First of all, it is amazing to me, at least, that we have recorded the reaction of Josiah to the book being found. We remember in this book are written the expectations that God has for his people in order for them to have fellowship with him. The book is read before King Josiah, and immediately he tears his clothes in anger and sorrow because he knows that as a nation they have left, or the word used in the text, abandoned God. They've gone so far from his word. You know, I can imagine just trying to put myself in Josiah's shoes. In that spiritual condition where we have gone so far, where even the word of the Lord has been completely forgotten, we're not even aware of our spiritual condition. I can only imagine that it probably felt to him as if they had strayed so far away, it was impossible to get back. You know, I feel like I've felt that feeling many times in my life, where I've kind of sized up a situation. Maybe I have become undisciplined or exercised a lack of self-control of something, and I just slip. And finally, I get to the bottom, and I look back up, and I say, there's no way I can get back to the top. The distance that I know that I'm going to have to travel is just discouraging. And many times in my life, sadly, I've let that discouragement keep me from doing what I knew I needed to do. And I can imagine Josiah probably feeling that way, seeing the spiritual condition of the people having digressed so far that it seemingly is impossible to get back up and stand on their feet. But what's amazing about what I read about King Josiah, as we just read in verses 3 through 13, is immediately he starts doing everything that he can to fix what had for so long been so broken. He knew the nation needed God, and so he begins this period of restoration, and he seeks God in any way that he can. He knew the nation needed God, and because he recognized that need, he sought God. He sends the priest, he sends the secretary to inquire of the Lord, recognizing they have not followed the law. He is anxious to make it right. You know, I think as I reflect on my life, I've seen periods of spiritual weakness in my life where I've been in exactly this situation, where I recognized that there was something that I needed to do. But for some reason, I always found a reason not to do it. And looking at myself and being honest with myself, I find that there are so many times in my life where I've not done what I needed to do simply because I was afraid. I've not done what I needed to do because I was afraid of some awkward feeling or some discomfort or the work that I knew that I was going to have to put into something. There have many times in my life where I've reflected on my spiritual condition and found myself so lacking, so broken, seeing how far that I needed to go to get back up on my feet. But Josiah knew the reality of the situation was, is you'll never get there unless you take that first step. You'll never get there unless you make it your every endeavor, as you see your spiritual condition, to just seek God. In Lamentations chapter 3 and verse 40, there's something amazing here in this text. It says, let us test and examine our ways and return to the Lord. And if you know about the book of Lamentations, the book of Lamentations is a reflection, or it's a lament that is reflecting on the Babylonian captivity, the destruction of Jerusalem, the destruction of Zion. And it was especially devastating for those who held to Zion theology. You may have heard of that term before, but basically what it was the city of Jerusalem is the city of God, the temple is the dwelling place of God, and because God is there, it can never be destroyed, and because we are the people of God, we will never be destroyed. And finally, when God says, look, it's not about the city, it's not about the temple, it's about wherever I am, and he allows Jerusalem and the temple to be destroyed, Lamentations is written as a lament reflecting on the destruction of their great city. And within that book, the author of this book is able to recognize that it is because of our own wickedness that this has happened. And this is the plea that he issues. Let us test and examine our ways, and let us return to the Lord. It seems like a pretty simple statement at face value, but think about it. This is our purpose. This is the commitment that we each need to make, to always be testing and examining ourselves. And make it a complete commitment to return to God in all that we do. I think we all, like Josiah, could do some self-reflection and find some areas in our lives where we have been broken. It's pretty easy sometimes to be critical of other people's, especially as we hear lessons brought or as we're sitting in a Bible class or we're talking with people and we see something in the Word of God. It's always so easy to think about somebody else that we wish was here to hear something. But the reality is that there are cracks in all of our windows that need to be repaired. There's so many things that I've failed at as a Christian, as a preacher, as a husband, as a son, but like Josiah, I need to make it my resolve to fix and restore. I need to always be seeking to better myself. And like Josiah, something that's interesting about Josiah was he wasn't just focused on individual restoration, he was focused on nation restoration. And I think something we can take from that is that we need to help one another. As we deal with the things in our lives that we struggle with, that are pulling us away from God, we need to be helpful to one another, and part of that includes righteous judgment, something that's very politically incorrect in today's society, judgment. But we need to love one another enough to want to help one another fix the problems that are in our lives. We want to love one another enough to encourage one another and to strengthen one another in Christ. So we need to work together to fix our brokenness with an understanding that God's expectation for us is not to be broken, but to be made whole, complete, perfect, mature. Josiah made it his resolve to fix the things in his life that had been broken. And we don't need to be satisfied with weakness. We need to quit saying, well, everybody has their own one vice in life that they struggle with. It's okay, it's allowable, all of this kind of nonsense. And we need to be reminded of the fact that in 1 John chapter 1 it says, God is light, in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and we do not practice the truth. No, God intends for us to be very mature and complete, which amplifies the necessity for us to fix the areas of our lives that have been broken. How do we do that? Reflection in the Word of God, time with one another, spending time in prayer. So many ways. But I want to talk about one more thing from Josiah very quickly. In 2 Kings chapter 22, there's something that's just really interesting about this text as we finish out this chapter. Beginning in verse 14, it says, Hilkiah the priest, and Ahikam, and Achbor, and Shaphan, and Asaiah went to Huldah the prophetess, the wife of Shallum, the son of Tikva, son of Harus, keeper of the wardrobe. Now she lived in Jerusalem in the second quarter, and they talked with her, and she said to them, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, tell the man who sent you to me, thus says the Lord, behold, I will bring disaster upon this place. Notice this, it's very important. I will bring disaster upon this place and upon its inhabitants, all of the words of the book that the king of Judah has read. Because they have forsaken me and have made offerings to other gods, that they might provoke me to anger with all of the work of their hands. Therefore, my wrath will be kindled against this place, and it will not be quenched. So what is the prophet is saying? The prophet is saying, your reformation is not going to save the nation. The city is still going to be destroyed. Jerusalem's going to be gone. The wrath of God is going to come. He is going to come in the fullness of his anger, and he's going to inflict his vengeance. But notice this in verse 18. But to the king of Judah, who sent you to inquire of the Lord, thus shall you say to him, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, regarding the words you have heard, because your heart was penitent, and you humbled yourself before the Lord when you heard how I spoke against this place and against its inhabitants, that they should become a desolation and a curse, and because you have torn your clothes and you have wept before me, I have heard you, declares the Lord. Therefore, behold, I will gather you to your fathers, and you shall be gathered to your grave in peace, and your eyes shall not see all of the disaster that I will bring upon this place. And they brought back word to the king. What just happened? The word of the Lord came and it said, I'm not going to save the city who is still guilty in their wickedness. But because Josiah, you have turned your heart back to me, I'm going to spare you. And I'm going to deliver you from this great evil. We consider Josiah. Josiah, he was one of 20 kings who ruled Judah during the period of the divided kingdom. One of 20 kings. Most of the kings before him, they showed little concern for the spiritual well-being of the nation. As a matter of fact, it just seemed to just get worse and worse and worse and worse and worse. They were caught up in their own struggles to establish and secure power. And then this breath of fresh air comes along, Josiah. One of the best, one of the most spiritually concerned kings, but notice as we reflect on his story, in all of his faithfulness, in all of his reformations, in all of his efforts to walk with God, he was still unable to reverse the fate of Judah as a nation. And even more unique in Josiah's situation than any other king is that Josiah, as opposed to the other leaders, knew the end before the end came. God told Josiah through this prophetess, despite your faithfulness, Judah is going to be punished. They're going to suffer great disaster as a result of their sins. And again, trying to put myself in Josiah's shoes, I can only imagine wanting or being tempted to think, well, if God, you're just going to destroy him anyways, then why bother? Why should I even exert any energy or any time and put my effort into these great avenues of reformation, these great acts of reformation, if you're just going to destroy the people, if it's going to be worthless anyways? I can just imagine him wanting maybe to think, Judah, it's going to be taken captive, it's going to be punished. I might as well just not even bother. But we just read his story. We read the whole chapter, and we know that's not what happened. As a matter of fact, he didn't just not throw in the towel. He actually put more energy into his efforts. He knew the fate of the people in advance, and what's so encouraging is that despite knowing their fate, instead of stepping down, he stepped up. And committed himself even more to taking away the strains of idolatry, the stains of paganism, in a last dying effort to bring Judah back to God. Chapter 23, we're not going to read chapter 23, but you might have a subtitle there that says above the chapter, Josiah's reforms. Josiah, he continues to try and reform the nation. He reads the book of the Lord to all the people. They restored their covenant with God. He got rid of the priests of the false gods. He broke down the houses of the cult prostitutes and ground the idols to dust. And he sprinkled the dust of the idols in the cemeteries. He restores the Passover and he gets rid of all the mediums and all the necromancers. He does everything within his power to get rid of any stain from the cultures around him. But in chapter 23, let's just read this one verse. We start to bring this to a close. In 2 Kings chapter 23 and verse 25, it says, "Before him there was no king like him who turned to the Lord with all of his heart and with all of his soul and with all of his might, according to all the law of Moses, nor did any like him rise after him." In all of his efforts, it didn't really accomplish anything for the nation as a whole in the long term and saving them from the coming destruction. But you know that passage we oftentimes quote, Matthew chapter 22 and verse 27 through 29, "Love your Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind." You know that we have an example of someone who did just that despite the culture around him? Let me read this again. "Before him there was no king like him, who turned to the Lord with all his heart, with all his soul, with all his might, according to all the law of Moses, nor did any like him arise after him." This one last point, and we'll be done this morning. You know, Josiah, he understood something that we oftentimes lose sight of, myself included. We have our own definition of what success is, and we seek success in so many places, whether it be at school, whether it be with our jobs and work, financially, and the things that we own, the things that we possess. Just as humans, we seek success in so many ways. What Josiah understood, and especially important about him understanding this, is the fact that he was a king. He understood that it's not about that at all. That none of those things measure the success of an individual. Josiah, he knew by the word of God that after he died, the people, they would turn from God again as a nation. They'd be punished. He knew that. Verse 26, right after that passage, it says, "Still the Lord did not turn from the burning of his great wrath by which his anger was kindled against Judah, because all the provocations with which Manasseh had provoked him." Josiah knew what was coming. They weren't going to stay with the Lord. But yet he kept going. Why in the world did he keep going? Because it wasn't about success for him. It wasn't his master. You know what was his master? Faithfulness. Faithfulness was actually more important to him than success. Actually, his faithfulness was his success when we consider it appropriately. Doing what was right, regardless of the odds, is what was crucial to him. And because of his own faithfulness, the Lord dealt very kindly and mercifully with Josiah. But disaster to come was something the Lord was going to spare Josiah. He wasn't going to have to witness it. You know, as I consider myself in light of the things that we're reading about in the story of Josiah here in 2 Kings 22 and 23, I think sometimes, like Josiah, we face situations that are seemingly impossible. Maybe we're dealing with a difficult marriage. Maybe it is it's peer pressure at school, it's a challenging job, or just everyday living in a world that laughs and mocks at what we value the most. And sometimes I think we're left wondering, can anything good come from the current condition or course of the world? You know, unlike Josiah, we don't really know how things are going to turn out in the grand scheme of things with the condition of the world and all that. We haven't been given some special insight as to exactly what God's going to do at exactly this point in time. But here's what I wanted to take away from it this morning. Though unlike Josiah, we don't know how things are going to turn out. Like Josiah, we can choose to be faithful. In any circumstance, in any condition, despite the odds, despite those who are around us, we can choose faithfulness. I want to close with 2 Corinthians 5 this morning. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and I'm going to read verses 6 through 10. 2 Corinthians 5, 6 through 10. Don't you notice what Paul says as he's following this passage of the coming heavenly dwelling and how the imperishable is going to put how the perishable is going to put on the imperishable, and how he has prepared us in verse 5 for this very thing. God has prepared us for this very thing, and he's given us the Spirit as a guarantee. He says in verse 6, "So we are always of good courage. We know that while we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. Yes, we are of good courage. And we would rather be away from the body and at home with the Lord. So whether we are at home or away, we make it our aim to please Him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may receive what is due for what he has done in the body, whether good or evil." Despite his circumstance, Josiah, he faithfully followed the Lord, and he received the blessings of the Lord for doing that. Let us always be of good courage, being reminded of the promises of God for those who faithfully follow Him despite circumstances. For those who realize that we are in control of our own life, and maybe we grow up in rough conditions and the situations around us are rough and awful and horrid, let us be encouraged by the fact that God has promised to be with us, and He has promised us that we can be in control. That we can faithfully follow Him if we make that our commitment, despite what everybody else is doing. If we will just choose to follow Him. Maybe it is that you're here this morning and you have not yet chosen to follow Him. Let me assure you, His life is the only life with blessing and with purpose and with hope. There is no hope outside Jesus Christ, who says, "I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life." There's no other option. Won't you choose the way of life this morning while the opportunity is yours? Maybe it is that you've done that and you've come to Christ and you've been cleansed of your sins by His grace when you faithfully submitted to Him in obedience. But you've fallen away back into your old life of sin, and you need the restoration like Josiah committed himself to. Won't you make that commitment this morning? Confess your sins to the Lord. He will forgive you. Come back to the Lord. Faithfully follow Him. He will bless you day in and day out and ultimately in eternity. Won't you come while we stand and sing?